I'm just going to read you some of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 1. Who has believed our message? Or as the King James puts it, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Talking about Jesus now, he grew up before God like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Starting at verse 4, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Two reasons why I picked this scripture. I'll give Kim and them just a little more time to hand out elements. Number one is that in order to die on the cross, Jesus couldn't be a king here on earth because they wouldn't have been able to put him on the cross. And because he came the way he did, it took our faith to believe in him. It would have been very easy for God to send a king, to send a son as a king who would rule and reign and teach us, and all the things that he said would be written down as law, and it would be very easy for people to follow him. But it is by faith that we have to believe, because he was presented to the lowest and to the lowliest. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing is in appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. Now, if he was a king, Isaiah would have been a liar. But you have to understand that this was written before Jesus came, hundreds of years before Jesus came. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace that we walk on was on Jesus. And by his wounds we are healed. Today, I would really like you to consider the price that has been paid for your life. Individually and corporately. But individually, he paid that price for you, John. He paid that price for you, Bruce. He paid that price. He took the scourging and the beating. He took the crown of thorns, which were pushed into his head. He carried the cross up that hill onto Golgotha. He laid down on that cross. They didn't have to fight to hold him there. He did it willingly for us. They drove great big spikes through his wrists and through his feet. They pierced his side. Yet all of that was not the worst. The worst was the humiliation that he suffered so that we can walk in peace. The worst was the fact that he was deity. He was God. And he allowed his life to be laid down for us. For us. He was a king. Treated not like a common criminal, because you'll have to understand that they let Barabbas, the common criminal, go. He was free. Jesus was nailed to the tree. He suffered an indignation worse than criminal. And he did it willingly. And for the joy that was set before him, knowing that his people would one day fellowship with him. That's the price he paid for us. And sometimes we think it's too big a price to wait in line for a coffee at Tim Hortons. I think we have our priorities a little bit confused. A little bit. If Jesus did all this for us, if God surrendered his only son for us, understand today what he must think of you. You are set upon high who believe upon his name. That's what Psalm 91 says. That's where he wants us to be, set upon high. And today we celebrate that. We celebrate that in the elements that we take. We celebrate that broken body, broken for us, that not only would we walk in peace, but that we would walk healthy in peace. And the blood, which redeemed us from the curse of the law, all of the curse of the law. All of the curse of the law. He paid the price for that. Because you see, he wanted our life here on earth to be good. Not only good, but abundantly good. And that's what we celebrate today. So on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks to God for that, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this remembering me." Do this remembering what I did for you. Let us take of that body. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Understand, he was giving us a deal better than the world could give us. He was paying for our lives. He bought our lives with this blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." When we take this blood today, this cup which represents Jesus' blood, let's remember that he didn't hold anything back, but that he shed his life for us. An agreement not to be broken. An agreement not to be messed with by any other peoples. This is saying, "Satan, get your hands off. Keep your hands off. I am a child of God." In Jesus' name, let us celebrate that. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you loved us enough to sacrifice all for us. We thank you, Lord God. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be talking about the heart attack. Hopefully nobody has had a heart attack in your family recently. We don't want to make little of that. But Terry has said that there is dessert and delicious dessert for all of us thereafter. Ironical that we're talking about heart attacks that same day. The same. So please, I'm going to try and get done a little early. So please stay for dessert. We're talking about the heart attack. And if you all are thinking about the heart attack in the flesh, you're thinking a little amiss. Because I'm going to talk about the attack that Satan puts on our heart. Now, he has no direct line to our heart, but he has an indirect link. And so we want to expose the devil for who he is. Where did hardening of the heart, that's what the Bible calls it, where did hardening of the heart originate? I can tell you without doubt that the hardening of our hearts started with a lie from Satan. All hardening of the heart starts with a lie from Satan. See, there's two purposes for Satan. We've talked about this. Number one, his first purpose was to get rid of the line of God. Can't do that because we're too big. And number two, he tried to erase the knowledge of God. And he's still doing that. He knows that if all of the people on earth attended church, a Christian church, that he wouldn't stand a chance. Most likely. I'm not going to say that for sure. But see, Satan started with a lie and he continued to lie. Cain's heart was hardened because he believed that his offering was substandard in comparison to Abel's offering. And Abel even went and fixed up his offering. But there was a jealousy. Did Satan kill Abel? He did not. Cain killed Abel. But Satan put that lie into Cain's head that says he thinks he's better than you. Right? And then Cain took that thought from his head to his heart and therefore, and through that, killed Abel. Pharaoh's heart was hardened because of the lie of Satan saying this: these people are great and will join with the enemy to overthrow you and your people. A lie. Because Pharaoh was there to protect and to provide for God's people. But a lie from the devil implanted in Pharaoh's mind. And he pondered it. And he said, I must put these people into bondage to protect myself. And then I must kill every male child. And that was to reduce the chances of this people rising up against him. But that wasn't Satan's plan. But Satan used Pharaoh. See, Satan's plan was to get rid of the seed of the Redeemer. But he didn't tell Pharaoh that. He told Pharaoh, these people are going to rise up against you and they're going to wipe you out. He believed that lie. He meditated upon it. I'm sure he didn't go out that moment, right, and put everybody into bondage and kill all the little baby boys. He had to think about that. And as he meditated upon that, that thought that was here, the only place Satan can attack you, ended up here. And then the sword of the Pharaoh took flight. A lie of the devil. One little lie started that all. Today, the people of the world's hearts have been hardened. You know that because when you go out there and you introduce them to Jesus, they say, that's nonsense. I have heard so many people who have been offended in a church because they chose to take an offense, right? Scream out against God. I will never go to a church again because of how I was treated. But they took an offense, and probably the offense was there already. This just magnified it. Why? Because they choose to believe in their own desires and passions rather than believe in God's redeeming love. So they'll persecute you. And they'll persecute those who believe that. That is the evidence that their heart is hardened. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 4. I'm not going to play them up there now because they're not. We have a limited time. But check it out for yourself and see what this hardening of the heart will do to you. And it talks about how children react to their parents. Talks about men being lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Hardened hearts. And now we're going to introduce kingdom into this. Because this is what Terry's been preaching about. And I think we should have some continuity here. Because of the hardening of their hearts, the Hebrew nation was denied access to the promised land or the kingdom. Hebrews 3, verses 8 to 11, starting at verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray. And they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Their hearts are always going astray. What does Psalm 91 say? Those who visit the shadow of the Almighty will be protected? No. It says, those who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's not a place you visit when times get tough. It's a place you stay. And if you abide, then all the promises become yours. But you see, the Hebrew children didn't abide. They visited. They only sought God when there was trouble. They were backbiting God and Moses, to the point where they left God's protection and were starting to get eaten up by serpents. When did they go to God? God, we need help with the serpents. Get rid of the serpents. They're killing us. Well, if they would have not started backbiting, if they were abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, they'd have never had to worry about the serpents. And we as Christians are something like that. Things are humming along great. We're living life our way and we get into trouble. And we say, oh God, where are you? Well, you've been walking your own way. You've been walking on the wild side for about a month already, right? You should have expected sooner or later you to get out of the grasp of God. See, God doesn't bring that stuff. God doesn't bring destruction. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not for but to kill, to steal and destroy. Not God. Not God, but the world blames God. The finger of God, that's a big storm. Right? The hand of God, that's destruction. Do you see how the lies of the devil has polluted the minds of the people? We have blamed it all on God. And God's saying, hey, I gave you guys dominion. You decided to give it to Satan. Now you got to live with that. Good news is, I've sent my son Jesus to die on the cross for you, Jesus will deal with that. You just have to believe it. It's like going into a boxing match. Never have boxed a day in your life. Right? And the big old enemy is sitting in the other corner with Satan tattooed on his forehead. And you're just shaking in your boots. Oh boy, we're going to get it now. And just before the bell rings, in walks the champion. In walks your champion. And he defeats the devil. You don't have to as much as raise a sweat. The only sweat on your brow is that you had in fear before the fight started. That's who we are. We don't have to fear. Jesus has taken care of that for us. So because of their hardened hearts. The Hebrew nation was not allowed into the promised land, as is. God says, we deal with you guys. Back to the wilderness you go until all of you guys are dead. I say, guys, now is where the girls say, no, guys and girls, all dead, and I'll deal with your children. Your generation is gone. It's finished. All because of one little lie. See, because God was willing to overlook all those things. What did he say? Though 40 years they saw what I did. 40 years of miracles. Of fire by night. Cloud by day. That's the best air conditioning system you can get. God gave them all those miracles. And they rebelled. They were stinkers. But God said, I forgive you guys for that. Right? Now send the spies in the land and figure out how you're going to do this, how you're going to take this land, and then come back and tell the people, and then away you go. One lie. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. One lie. And it went from here, to the whole nation, and because of that, nobody gets in a promised land. If I was Joshua and Caleb, the two that made it to the promised land, I'd have kicked their tails around the mountain so many times because I had to walk it with them. One lie kept that whole Hebrew nation out of the promised land. Can I tell you this? That the Old Testament is a type and shadow of today. In the Old Testament, the kingdom was the promised land. In the New Testament, the kingdom is where we as Christians operate. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? If you go read on in Hebrews and make it all the way to chapter 12, it says, one more time, I'm going to make it shake. The whole world will be shaken. Not only the world, but the heavens will be shaken. And anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And when he's talking shaken, he's not talking about grab by the shoulder and give him a little, right? He's talking shaken to death. Finished, gone, complete, away. But what did Jesus say? There is a kingdom. My Father's kingdom will not be shaken. Why is kingdom so important? If you don't want to be shaken, my friends, we need to be in that kingdom. We can't look at that kingdom from afar and say, yeah, there's no shaking going on there. I'm good here. No. You need to be a part of that kingdom. That's why kingdom is so important. That's why Terry's been preaching it for just about a whole year. Hopefully you've caught on by now and that you're starting to participate in kingdom. All right, there was my sidetrack. Let's go back. Right? The whole Hebrew nation was shaken. They're gone. Wait for the kids. And we are the same way. We are the same way. So what kept the Hebrew children or the Hebrew people from gaining the promised land? Was the hardening of their hearts. And may I tell you, it's still happening today. Hearts are still being hardened today. Hebrews 3, carrying on with verse 11. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another as long as it is called today. Does it say tomorrow? It does not say tomorrow, it says today. If you are seeing a brother or a sister having hard times, who are suffering because of sin in their life, today is the day to fix that. Don't say another 4 months to the harvest. Today is the day. So that none of you may be what? Hardened. What is doing the hardening here? What is the hardening agent? Sin. Where did sin come from? The lie of the devil. I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. If the whisper of the devil is louder than the voice of God, you are a slave to Satan in that area of your life. One more time. If the whisper of the devil is louder than the voice of God, you are a slave to Satan in that area of your life. You're believing Satan's lies more so than the promises in the Word of God. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. What is our original conviction? It's our salvation. We need to hold on to that. We can't let a lie of the devil take that away from us. As has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. This is one of the reasons why I don't like the NIV edition. I don't know about NASB. But if you look at that, today, if you hear His voice isn't capitalized. In King James, they still did that. They still capitalized the name of the Lord every time it was used, and it took all that confusion away. Just a little side note. Because of the hardening of their hearts, people today, I'm talking about Christians, are denied access to God's kingdom because of what? I'm sure you can all fill the blanks in here. I'm sure I don't have to tell you this because you are all mature Christians here. If there is unforgiven sin in your life, if there is separation from God in your life, my friends, you are not walking into the promised land. You're not walking into the kingdom in which we operate, which is so important to us. If we have hardened our hearts in this place by saying, somebody done me wrong. If you have hardened your hearts and you're believing the lie of the devil, you will not operate in kingdom. It's as simple as that. Harden not your heart, or guard your heart, which is another way the Bible puts it, is important to God. How important is it to God? While I was doing the research on this, my brother asked me, so how long does it take to prepare for a message? You just whip that thing out your pocket? I said, no. Because everything has to be backed up and supported by two or three witnesses. By two or three witnesses. 106 times in the Bible it's written, guard your heart. Harden not your heart. You think it's important to God? It is of the utmost importance. It is of the utmost importance because if you harden your heart, you will not hear from God. My sheep hear my voice, and none other will they follow. Book of John. My sheep will hear my voice, and none other will they follow. So how come they're following the devil? How come? Because they've hardened their hearts. If we didn't harden our hearts, we wouldn't even hear the devil. But in areas of our life, we still have a hard heart. And we need to soften that up. Stick with me to the end. I'll show you how to do it. I'm going to finish early. You're going to get your dessert time. So Satan can only attack you in the mind. He can't attack you in the heart. Satan isn't walking around with a shovel to beat you over the head in order to win you. He's got minions all over this place who's doing that dirty work for him. He doesn't have an audible voice with which to tell you his lies. He's got minions all over this world who will do that for him. Hopefully, we in the church are not one of his minions. I say that again. Hopefully, we in the church are not acting as the devil's minion. What do I mean by that? I'll get to it in a minute. I have a little succession. Little words. Little words. We're not getting to Proverbs yet. I know you guys cheated. You got ahead of me here. The very first thing when Satan attacks your mind is a thought. If you do not use the shield of faith to keep those darts at bay, to keep that voice at bay, you will take that into your mind. And what's the first thing you do? You think about it. You meditate upon it. If you have got to the point where you're meditating upon the lie of the devil, you're in a bad place. You're one step away from accepting that into your heart. A place that's untouchable to Satan. But it's allowance from you to let that word travel that path. Transgression. Meditation always leads to transgression. Meditation upon the word of God leads to good acts. Meditation upon sin leads to sin. 100% of the time. So now you have a transgression and the devil comes back and he points his finger in your face. I said, see, you call yourself a son of God. See that sin? Confusion. Step number 3, confusion. 1, meditation. 2, transgression. 3, confusion. Now you're confused. Yeah, God, that's right. I'm a son of God. What am I doing this? Then comes depression. Oh, no, I done this. We take responsibility for our sin. Step 4. Step 5. We try and suppress that sin. We stick it away in a hiding spot. I wonder who saw that. Hopefully nobody saw that. Step number 6. Oppression. Right? We keep looking in there. Is that thing still hidden? Is that sin still hidden? Has anybody seen it? Does anybody know? Have I said anything? Step number 7. Obsession. It takes over every part of our day. Every part of our life, that sin. That sin becomes the big thing in our life. Instead of being sun conscious, we're now sin conscious. And the very last step is complete possession. And the only way to get that out of there is with dynamite. You got to blow it out. Right? When I talk about dynamite, I talk about the Holy Spirit and I talk about His power. That's the only way you're going to get that thing out of there now. Because simply believing the lie of the devil has caused this to happen in your life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it spring the issues of life. So if you have darkness in your heart, you're looking at life through dark sunglasses. Right? There's a song that talks about the rose-colored glasses. You see everything rosy. Right? That's the way we're supposed to see things. Because that's the way God is in us. But when we have darkness in our heart, we see everything through that darkness, through that oppression. We are more sin-conscious than we are sun-conscious. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Now, in this whole chapter, in the whole Proverbs 4:23-27, when we're talking about this, this is the only thing that they mention. They don't talk about put away from you the angry heart. They don't talk about put away from you the boxing gloves with which you offend others. Right? It just talks about what? It talks about the deceitful mouth. Why? Because if we use our mouth to curse, if we lie, if we slander, and if we gossip, we are doing the devil's work on earth. We have become one of his minions. We need to be so careful that our mouth speaks blessings and not cursings. Because every time you curse, you're doing the devil's little dirty work. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids eyelids look right before you. Focus on your way. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. You know what? If you're going to choose cursings, fine. But choose them out there. Because this is the house of God. This is the house where blessings happen. Keep cursings out. Establish your way. Do not turn to the right or the left. And remove your foot from evil. This is an issue of hardening of the heart. Today, let's not harden our hearts by focusing on issues of the world. This is the only time in this whole service I'm going to mention the word politics. Goodness gracious, if you've got your eyes on politics, you're in a bad place. Because not one of them knows how to tell the truth. Not one. I know that. Because when I answer the phone, I'm going to tell you guys this again. If you use this, it works. You want to cut politicians' phone calls short? Do this. You will not only have my support, but you will have my voice if you can say yes to these three things. Use it. Try it. It's fun. Number one, abortion is murder from conception. Number two, homosexuality is sin, period. Number three, evolution is a lie of the devil. And if you can get through that without a click, you're doing good. Because all the times I did it, I got a click before I got that last one out. Right? They all know who I am. They're going to take my name off that list that they phone because it's not doing them any good. Yes, it is if they listen to what I say. Don't focus on world's issues. Let us not harden our hearts by judging. Here's the big one. Listen to this one. By judging another's actions. Jesus knew that Judas was stealing from his purse. He was amongst his chosen 12. And we talked about this last time when we talked about pulling out the weeds, right? Because some of the wheat would come with it. But here's the thing. If Jesus opened up that door, can you imagine the distraction that would have been to his ministry? A normal you and I probably would have taken us out of kingdom. It wouldn't have taken Jesus out of kingdom. But it would have been a major distraction with all of the questions he would have had to answer. He knew that things would take care of themselves. He knew in the end that Judas would push the default button by giving him to the world, by giving Jesus to the world. So don't, please don't, judge another's actions, especially in the house of God. Let us not be carried away by doctrine and personal agendas. The Bible says that your gifts will make a way for you. And if you find yourself in a place where you have no way, you need to work on the gift, not the job. You need to work on the gift. You need to get down on your face and say, God, give me the gift with which I can minister. And when we do that, God will open all kinds of doors for you. See, the thing is, God has not got a scant, short list of jobs that he's got for 1,000 people. God has more jobs than he has people. But the reason the people aren't in the jobs is because they haven't surrendered their will to God. Ooh. Yes, they're still believing the lies of the devil, which says, I can carry on and do exactly what I'm doing, and God will anoint me in a special place. Not happening, sir. Not happening, ma'am. Let us not allow sin or imagination cause separation between us and God and the kingdom work. If there's any unconfessed sin, if there's still a hardened spot in your heart, do yourselves a favor and get rid of it. God is yearning to use you. God is yearning to heal you. But you got to hear the word of God more so than the whispers of the devil. And follow the word of God. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Let us believe God's report and trust in Him to overcome all of life's barriers. The children, when they walked through the desert, had no barriers. I tell you what, if you can get out of your tent in the morning and bend over and pick up the manna and eat, there's no burden there. Even when we are fishing, we had to wait sometimes to eat. Had to gather first. But that's okay because we had fun gathering. But understand that God overcame all the barriers for them. All they had to do was trust in Him. Right? What became a barrier? The serpents became a barrier. Why? Because their mouth invited it. Oh, there goes that deceitful mouth again. Got to keep that thing, tape that thing shut. Let only good things. My mom said that. If you don't have anything good to say, shut your mouth. She didn't say it quite that harsh, but it sounds better that way. Let us believe God's report. We started communion that way. Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? We believe that report. Let us guard our hearts, for out of it flow all of the issues of life. If you want to see life the way God sees life, it takes a clean heart. It takes a soft heart, not a hardened heart. If we are constantly complaining about the people who are stepping on our blue suede shoes, that's all we're ever going to see. We're going to spend more time polishing our blue suede shoes than we are going to give them glory to God. Stop. Stop. God has so much in store for you, including a new pair of blue suede shoes. All right, I said if you would stick with me till the end, I would show you how to get out of all this. Philippians 4. I'm going to start at verse 6. You're going to get to start at verse 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Not all poor, is me. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, right? Let's go back to communion, remember? The chastisement, the payment of our peace was upon Him so that we would walk in peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, what? Will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. But all over in the Bible it says we must guard our hearts. No. If we trust in God, God will guard our hearts. But this is the best. Here, you want the answer of how to stay out of a hardened heart? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You want to know how to keep your heart soft? This one verse, apply yourself to it, and you will not have a hardened heart. You will not. You will walk in peace. You will walk in forgiveness. You will also walk in understanding. If you apply this one part, if there's anybody who needs help with that, I'm going to be at the front. I'll pray with you. I'll believe with you. We'll even cast a demon out if we need to. But I want you walking out of this place free. Because the Bible says, who the Son sets free isn't free indeed. If you choose to live in bondage in any area of your life, remember this, it is your choice. It is not your purpose. Amen. I'm going to call Linton back up. We can probably squeeze in one or two more songs. Finished early. So we can have dessert. Amen. And if there's anybody just wants prayer in overcoming in any of the areas of their lives, come to the front. Don't wait. Come. Don't rationalize it away. Don't think it away. Just act upon God's call upon your heart. Amen.